Daf Hey. So Reb Nachman starts off saying that a Talmid Chacham doesn't need to say Kriyas Shema Lamita. And Abaye said, though, that a Talmid Chacham should still try to say a Pasuk of Mercy, of Rachman, before he goes to bed, something like Biadav Kidruchi, Pasuk like that. Reish Lakish says that you should always, you know, use your Yetzer Tov to try to overcome your Yetzer Hara. And if you overcome it, that's good. And if not, then you should learn Torah. And if that works to overcome your Yetzer Hara, then that's great. If not, you should say Kriyas Shema. If that works to overcome your Yetzer Hara, great. If not, you should think about the day of, you know, your day of death, and hopefully that will help you to overcome your Yetzer Hara. Reish Lakish says, he brings down this pasuk, and he says, this pasuk teaches that Moshe got the Asar Sadibros, Torah, Mishnah, Nach, and Gemara at Har Sinai. He basically got Kol HaTorah Kula. And then Reb Yitzchak says that if you say Kriyas Shema Lamita, it's like you're holding a double-edged sword to ward off the demons. Mar Zutra comes and brings in the pasuk for this. And then Reb Yitzchak says that if you say Kriyas Shema Lamita, then the demons will stay away from you. So saying Kriyas Shema before you go to sleep will protect you from demons. Reish Lakish says that if you learn Torah, then Yisurin, afflictions, are going to stay away from you. You'll have a better day. Reb Yochanan disagrees with the pasuk that Reish Lakish brought down, and he brings a better pasuk than the one that Reish Lakish says, and he says, you know, this is such a better pasuk because even the school children know it. But Reish Lakish's pasuk teaches something that his pasuk doesn't teach. What does Reish Lakish's pasuk teach? It says that anyone that can learn Torah and does not learn Torah, then Hashem is going to bring afflictions onto them. So Reb Zera comes and he contrasts Hashem's, like the way Hashem acts and the way that people act. So when people sell something that they really like, the buyer is happy and the seller is sad because the buyer got something great, the seller lost his great object. But Hashem was really happy to give us the most important possession, the Torah, because it says, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, Torah ti atanzovu. Hashem was very happy to give us the Torah, this great possession. Rava says that if you have struggles, if you have Yisurin in your life, then you should check your actions and see if there's something you're doing wrong. If you can't find anything wrong, then you can assume that it's because of Bittul Torah. And if you try to fix that and still nothing is fixing, you're still having Yisurin in life, then Hashem is sending these struggles out of love, the Yisurin shel Ava. Rav Huna says that the people that Hashem really loves, he crushes them with struggles. But he said that, you know, it's fine. If you don't consent to these struggles, you don't want them, then Hashem won't afflict us with them. But if we do accept them with love, then what's the reward? That we'll have a long life, you'll be Masleach in your Torah, and it'll be very good for you. And your Lag, it'll be good for you. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina are arguing over what are considered Yisurin Shel Ava. So one opinion is that it's anything that doesn't cause Bittul Torah. The other opinion is that it's anything that doesn't cause Bittul Tefillah. Those are the two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, really, both, whether or not it causes Bittul Torah, Bittul Tefillah, it could still be Yisurin Shel Ava. And his proof is from the Torah, that a slave goes free if the master harms the slave in any one of his body parts, Shein V'ayin. So Kal V'Chomer, if the Yisurim come from Hashem, which are going to afflict your entire body, obviously those will set us free from sin. So any type of affliction can be Yisurin Shel Ava. And Rishon Ben Lakish teaches that there was a bris, like a covenant by salt and by Yisurin, and he brings in the psukim by both. And he says that just like salt sweetens meat, so too Yisurim are going to purge you of all your sins. And Rishon Ben Yochai says that Hashem gave Bnei Yisrael three good gifts, but we can only acquire them through struggling. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba are the three, and he brings in the psukim for those. And then there was a Tana who said to Rabbi Yochanan that anyone that learns Torah, does chesed, and he buries his children is forgiven for all his sins. So Rabbi Yochanan says that he has psukim for Torah and chesed that will give you forgiveness for your sins. But how do you know if you buried your sons? So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he brings an gzeirah shava where he connects avon to avon to teach that burying your sons will grant you forgiveness for your sins. So Rabbi Yochanan says that if you got saras or you lost your children, these are not Yisurin Shel Ava. But we have a brisa that says that saras is a mizbeach kapara, which sounds like, you know, it's going to atone for your sins. So we say, yes, it's a mizbeach kapara, but it's not Yisurin Shel Ava. There's some kind of difference there. Or we could say that saras is considered Ava in Bavel, but saras is not considered Ava in Eretz Yisrael. Or we could say that saras is Ahava on a hidden part of your body, but if you get saras on a public place of your body, that's not Yisurin Shel Ava. And then we said, Rabbi Yochanan said that losing your sons is not Yisurin Shel Ava. But we know that Rabbi Yochanan himself had 10 sons that all died. Rabbi Yochanan was such a tzaddik, so he wouldn't have got punished, so it must have been Yisurin Shel Ava. So how do we understand that? So it's not Yisurin Shel Ava if you never had. If you never had children, that's just Yisurin. But if you had children and then they died, that is considered Yisurin Shel Ava. So B'chiya Bar Ava was sick, and Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him, and he said, are you happy with these Yisurim that you're getting? He said, no, I'm not happy by the Yisurim, and I'm not happy with the reward I would be getting from them. So Rabbi Yochanan said, all right, give me your hand. He held his hand, and he magically healed him. And then, same thing happened with Rabbi Yochanan, that he was sick, and Rabbi Hanina went to visit him. He said, are you happy with your Yisurim? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, I'm not with them, and not with their schar. So Rabbi Hanina healed him. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just heal himself? Because we said that, you know, a person can't help themselves out of something like that. So then Rabbi Elazar was sick, and Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him, and it was very dark in the room, so he rolled up his sleeve, and his, you know, his hand or his arm was able to shine light on the room, and it made it brighter. And then when with this light, he saw that Rabbi Elazar was crying, and he said, he's like, why are you crying? If you're crying because you haven't learned enough Torah, then Hashem is happy even if you learn a little or a lot, as long as you know you really try and you have the right kavana. And if you're sad because you didn't have enough money, then, you know, not everyone is able to excel spiritually and financially. And if you're crying because you had sons who died, we know that's a Yisurin Shel Ava. So what's wrong? So Rabbi Elazar said that he's crying because the world is going to lose the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's like, yeah, that's a good reason to cry. And then they both started crying. And while he was there, Rabbi Elazar told Rabbi Yochanan that, you know, he wasn't happy with his struggles. He wasn't happy with their schar. So Rabbi Yochanan healed him. And then Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine, and they all soured and turned to vinegar. So the Chachamim went to visit him because that was a very big loss. And they said, you know, you should really check your actions. Maybe there's something you were doing wrong. And he said, what do you mean? What could I possibly be doing wrong? Anyone know something I'm doing wrong? So someone said, yeah, you know, I heard that you didn't really pay your sharecropper. And Rav Huna said, yeah, but he's, you know, he's taking way more than he should. He's stealing from me. And they said, well, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. You should really pay him what he's owed. And so Rav Huna agreed to pay him. And on the spot, either the vinegar turned back into wine, or the vinegar rose in price, so it sold for the same price as wine. And then Abba Ben Yomin says that he was always careful for two things, that he would always have his tefillos before his bed, and he would always face his bed north to south. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, so what does this mean that he faced his bed? He said that he davened before his bed. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that you can't have a separation between yourself and the wall, which we learn from Chizkiah, who davened facing the wall, directly facing the wall. So it couldn't have been that he davened standing in front of his bed, because that would be something blocking the wall. Why would he go out of his way to do that? So it can't be literal. Rather, he meant that he didn't do anything in the morning before he davened Shacharis. As soon as he woke up, closest to his bed, as soon as he woke up, he would go daven Shacharis. And then about the facing your bed north to south, Rabbi Yitzchak says that anyone that faces his bed north to south will be zocha to have sons. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak says that if you face your bed north to south, your wife won't miscarry. And Abba Binyamin brings down a different halacha, that if two people go into a shul to daven and they're all alone, and one of them finishes first and he leaves before the other person, then his tefillos are ripped up and the Shechina will leave Bnei Yisrael because of this guy. And so what's his reward for waiting? Rabbi Hanina says he'll have peace, righteousness, and many children. Shkech.